1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the Bears have OTAs, and they signed Justin Fields to a new contract. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new exclusive interview today with Dave Parker, former NL MVP and the author of a new book entitled Cobra. We talk with him about his amazing MLB career, why he's not in the Hall of Fame, his new book, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, RyanIsMyAgent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. Hype is a very dangerous concept. Now, you might be wondering, John, why would you say that? Because a player, when hyped up, usually does not live up to the expectations put on them. Have there been many players who've been hyped and then actually lived up to that hype? There aren't many. It's very tough to find that in a player. I mean, think about it. Every NFL quarterback is hyped. Realistically, everyone at some point was hyped. Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, Dwayne Haskins, recent one. Everyone looked great in practice. Everyone had all the intangibles, all the tools necessary, and yet somehow, in games, they didn't perform. But wait a minute, they had all the tools. Great college career, good draft pick, hard worker. What happened? That's because hype kept going. It's like a snowball. As hype continues to mount and mount, the snowball gets bigger. And as a player, when you face off against that big a snowball, you are not going to beat it. Plain and simple. You will not live up to him. That's just a fact. You won't. Now, I'm not saying Justin Fields faces that same thing. I do believe he's talented. Not a fan of the Bears trading out, but that's a different story. I do believe he's talented, and I do believe he has potential to be a great starting quarterback for the Bears. That said, we're already seeing it happen. Over hype. Hype, but to a 50th degree. OTAs have started for the Bears, rookie minicamp, all that stuff's going on, and all we see day in and day out from reporters who've been there is hype. You'd think we'd see objective talk, some substance. No, just hype. For those of you who watched my Cubs video and listened on the radio a few days ago, I said, you could say this team is a vibe, you could like the chemistry on this team, but I want to talk about substance. I'm in the wins business, I'm in the numbers business, I'm not in, oh, it's such a feel-good, cuddly story business. I feel like the same thing's happening here right now. I don't like that. Quote, Justin Fields dropped two snaps from under center today, but there was so much more to his day. Wait a minute. Which is it? I'm not saying Fields is bad, but you kind of just glossed over something that could be important. He threw a beautiful deep ball to Demary Byrd for a touchdown. Fields also corrected his teammates at the line and made sure to have the right personnel in the huddle. Good day for him. Great. I'm sure it was a good day. You realize, though, that's the only writer, Adam Johns, who said Fields made a mistake, and even then he glossed over it. Bears wide receiver Darnell Mooney said he was smiling mid-route on a pass from Justin Fields. Can't go into a lot of detail, but from what I saw, it was a very good day for rookie quarterback Justin Fields. Sure it was. Sure he looked good. We've seen video. Talented quarterback. But this is hype. The hype train has started. And the thing that really worries me about Fields is, will he live up to it? And if he doesn't, what's going to happen? That's the real concern here. Now, Andy Dalton did not do well in day one. Apparently, he threw three interceptions during seven-on-seven drills. That stuff means nothing right now. Everybody will tell you it means a lot. Oh, my goodness, Fields should win the job today. No. And whomever you get your news from, if they tell you that, I would unsubscribe and just stop following right away. Here's Jim Trotter, great writer for NFL Media. Quote, I get the insatiable appetite for all things NFL. Really, I do. But pretending as if we can draw conclusions from non-padded, non-contact minicamp practices is something I'll never get. Thank you, Jim. You could say he had a good practice. That's it. Saying that now he deserves the starting job after a couple of OTAs, which some people are saying, that's ridiculous. I know what everybody wants. From day one, everybody knew what Bears fans wanted. It was obvious. Everybody thought, kick Dalton to the curb, why'd we sign him, move on, here we go. No. That's not how it works. You'll hear it from Teddy Greenstein in a moment. Even Teddy said, and this is a guy, by the way, who covered Fields at Ohio State. Nothing but praise for Fields. He's still set. Don't rush him. Don't ruin his confidence. All of this hype may help Fields today. But when things don't go well, when he faces adversity, the hype will come back to bite him. That should be concerning. How many quarterbacks have been hyped over the years? Virtually every single one has had some sort of hype. Some capacity. I'm not saying a lot, but some. Mitch Trubisky had hype. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. I mean, we could go on and on and on here. Everybody's had hype. But when adversity strikes, how do you deal with it? And in a lot of cases, the hype will actually blind you as a quarterback. You'll be so blinded and so caught up in the hype that when things start going wrong, you don't know how to adjust. That's the number one concern I have about Fields and about this whole thing. Now a word from our sponsor, True Classic Tees. Are you tired of boxy t-shirts that just won't get the job done? What about ones that feel too big and uncomfortable? I have that problem a lot, especially as a taller person. Thanks to True Classic Tees, though, those problems are over. See, I'm wearing one right now. Very comfortable, double-stitched for endurance, and custom-made to fit your dimensions. And get this, a portion of every sale goes towards helping homeless vets get off the street. So you're helping out our veterans, and you're buying quality material from a good independent company. Listeners of this program get a discount, too. Use JON10, that's J-O-N-10, to get 10% off your next purchase. Go to TrueClassicTees.com or find the link in the description of the video. True Classic Tees, top clothing and a good cause. I'm sure he had a great day, but you can't gloss over his mistakes or just throw him off to the side and say, well, a couple of mistakes, but overall, great day, and not even expound upon him. Because when he does make a real mistake, that's going to be an issue. I know what everybody wants. I'm asking you to be patient, though. The Bears are, too, believe it or not. For once, I agree with the Bears' official position. As of today, Matt Nagy has said Andy Dalton will start week one. What's the problem with that? But he threw three interceptions at 7-on-7. Doesn't matter. Makes no difference. What day is it today? June 10th. That shouldn't determine who starts, who sits when the season doesn't start for 100 days. I'm really happy to see Fields throw a good deep ball. That's a fact. Bears have never really had a quarterback who could do that. Jay Cutler, maybe to an extent, but even then, there were times in which he wasn't consistent. That's a positive. That's my biggest takeaway from OTAs. Justin Fields could throw a deep ball. Great. But he also has issues with snaps and exchanges with the center. Those need to be corrected. They will with time. That's why he's not starting week one yet. That's why he won't start week one till he's perfect when it comes to that aspect of things. You can't have a careless fumble in a game because of something routine like that. This is what I meant from the very beginning when I said don't rush it. See, now it's coming to fruition and then people are seeing more details. He'll learn that. But he won't learn it in a game making 10 fumbles. He needs to learn that in practice and on the bench before you go in. There are some things you have to learn before you perform. That's one of them. Cannot have careless fumbles in a game. Can't give away the football for no reason. Interception, different. Fumble because of another player. Can get punched out of you. Strip sack, different. But a fumble because of something like that, something you could control, problem. You drop two snaps from under center. But here's the main thing. Who even cares about that? Let's say he was perfect when it came to snaps. What did I just say from Jim Trotter? Non-padded, non-contact, minicamp practices. That should tell you all you need to know about who starts game one, the quarterback competition, who's winning it. That. Non-padded, non-contact, minicamp practices. You could try and draw conclusions and reach. You're not fooling me. You're really not fooling me. No contact, no pads. That means, hence, I don't care. He could have had a perfect day. Could have thrown the ball 50 yards. That's great. But no contact, no pads. No pressure. No rush to the quarterback. Not dealing with a new offensive line. Not having to run plays against the defense. Not having to balance the run game and the pass game. Right. Just calm down. Everybody needs to calm down a second. I get this is exciting. I get he's the new toy, the new quarterback. But remember the context in which this stuff is being reported. Remember the context. No pads, no contact. Mini camp, 7-on-7s. This isn't even real football. It's like me going up to a high school football field and just throwing the ball around. I mean, this is not anything official yet. Let's see him in pads. Let's see him in a preseason game. Let's see him in padded practice, a training camp. Then we could talk about, okay, this looks good, this looks bad. The fact of the matter is, he's having some issues with transferring the ball between him and the center. Not good. That needs to be fixed, and it will be. So even though Andy Dalton threw three interceptions, I'd say right now, obviously, still his job. Three interceptions will be corrected. But I guarantee you, Dalton didn't drop the ball from the center. He's a veteran. He knows better. Just knows more. That's just because he has more experience. Fields will get there, but he needs to accrue more practice hours and more experience. It's like driving a car, getting your license. Here in the state of Illinois, you have to garner 50 hours of driving before you can even apply to get your license. You have your permit, you have to drive for 50 hours. 10 of them have to be at night. Then you get your permit, then you get your license, and you move forward. Can't do that until you have enough hours down. Same with Fields. You can't say after a week he's ready when he's barely even practiced yet. That's just irresponsible, and that's hot takery. What are you going to do? Fields did sign a new contract, though. They finally agreed on one. Fully guaranteed, 4 years, $18.8 million contract, an $11 million signing bonus. And after his third season, the Bears have the option to lock up Fields for a fifth year. Here's a quote from Pro Football Talk. At the moment, the Bears are identifying Andy Dalton as their starting quarterback, but it's only a matter of time before Fields gets the job, and the Bears are hoping he keeps the job for many years to come, long enough that he signs a second contract that dwarfs the first one. Just for reference, that's about the going rate for a rookie contract. Same as Mitch's, actually. Very team-friendly deal. If Fields works, that's a hell of a deal for the Bears. If he doesn't, well, they lose $18 million. Still not bad. It's fully guaranteed. That's a new clause. Usually it's partially guaranteed and partially not guaranteed. I'm happy to see the contract worked out. That's very important. And I'm happy to see Fields have some success, especially with the deep ball. That's something the Bears have struggled with for my lifetime. I'm 21. I've never seen a really good deep ball thrower as the Bears quarterback, with the exception of maybe Jay Cutler. And I say maybe because he was very inconsistent anyways and was never on the field, always hurt. So that's promising. Don't like the issues when it comes to exchanging the football. Don't like the hype. And don't like the Bears PR team hyping it up. And by Bears PR team, I mean some writers. Look, you have to be objective. When I read these details, I think, well, good deep ball, but can't do the basics yet. And of course, you see how it's being framed. We forget about him not doing the basics. We just say, oh, great deep ball, and then Andy Dalton, three picks, oh, put in Fields. See how that's being spun here? Do you see it? It's already happening. This is going to get much worse come August and September. Just wait. I know I've said that already, but you can already see it starting to get worse. There are divisions, heated opinions to come. We'll be here for all of it. But just remember, draw your own conclusions and do your own research here. He may have a great deep ball, but he's struggling with some basics. I don't want him starting until the basics are down pat. When they're down pat, put him in. But until they are, shouldn't be starting. Shouldn't be saying he should start. The Bears have to do this the right way. They can't screw it up again. No plan C, no nothing. This is it. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace were lucky enough to get a second chance. That never happens. Don't screw it up. And remember, you may enjoy the hype. You may love to get caught up in the hype and get all ready to go. That could end up biting you and biting Fields in the butt when the season starts and he faces adversity. Hey, what do you like about this Bears team? Oh, I just like Fields. I think he's going to be great, great deep ball. Well, what about substance? What's he done numbers-wise? Well, I don't know. I love this Cubs team. It's a vibe. What about numbers-wise? Well, see? Let's talk substance. Let's talk numbers. Let's talk something measurable. Not, oh, I saw it with my own two eyes. Oh, I like this team. They give me a good feeling. Let's talk numbers. Time. Still on the Bears' side. There's a long way to go before the season. And as I've said time and time again, my official position is still this. Don't rush him. Don't break him. There's a ways to go in his career, and there's a ways to go for the Bears here. There is no need to cave in to public pressure to put him in yet. Do what you think is best for your franchise. If no one understands it, so be it. People will understand soon enough when you start winning. Do not cave in to the pressure from the media and the fans. Do what you believe is correct for the direction of your franchise. More to come. You're on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Dane Parker comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. We're with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a two-time World Series champion, the 1978 NL MVP, and the author of Cobra, A Life of Baseball and Brotherhood. Please welcome Dane Parker to the program. Dave, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Well, it's nice to meet you.
So, Dave, what inspired you to write Cobra, first off?
Well, it started because of some of the relationships I had with my fellow players. Their relationships that last a lifetime. And as I got closer to retiring, I thought it would be nice to emphasize some of those relationships.
What was the writing process like? How difficult was it to piece everything together and put it into a book?
Well, in between Dave Jordan and myself, Dave doing the research along with myself, we worked on it about 2 years and came up with some things that, refreshing my memory and Dave's research, made us make it possible to make the book fly.
What's your favorite part of it?
The relationship with Doc Ellis and Willie Stargell. That was a very unique one.
What was your relationship like with Stargell?
Well, he was like a brother, a father, took me on the wing, was a guy that everybody went to for advice. He was just a unique individual, a universal personality. That's what he was.
How special and important was he to the 1979 Pirates World Series team?
Well, he was the leader. Him and myself, we led that team, and Willie was a guy that came through, and he was expected to because everybody went to him for everything, so he might as well be the one to hit the home run, to put us in front, to make us winners.
Is there a specific story or a specific instance that you went to him for something that you want to share?
Willie was a guy that knew everything. You know, I mean, I had a hitting instructor that I didn't even go to because Willie knew my swing as well as anybody. So Willie filled in like a second team. Everybody loved Willie. And Willie was a guy that rose to the occasion.
Dave Parker, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, what made that Pirates World Series team overall so special?
Well, we were a team that never said die. We would come back from seven runs down early in a game. We had that uniqueness. We were a ball club that just never would die. And we were a team that America's team. We were a little bit like Dallas in football. Everybody loved the Pirates.
How'd you hit so well especially in the World Series. Did you feel any pressure or any anxiety about playing in that big stage?
No, I look forward to it.
Really?
You know, we have a unique team. Most of the guys look forward to going out competing. And we had proven ourselves early in the season in 79 that we were a team that would never die. And that was something to carry through the whole lineup, the whole team, like being on the big stage.
Was that one of the bigger accomplishments in your career, to win the World Series in 79 with that team?
Yes, it was. I won a lot of awards, MVP, batting titles, but winning something that you can win jointly as a unit was something that I carried closer to my heart, you know, because doing something as a unit got everybody involved, and I was about getting everybody involved.
Dave, with your achievements, you mentioned the batting titles, the World Series, the MVP. Do you think you should be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I got the numbers to be there, but I kind of take pride in what I achieved as a player. People identify to me as a Hall of Famer. When I go to events, people migrate to me as well as they do Hall of Famer. So I've done enough to be a Hall of Famer, but it's now up to them. And like I say, people identify me as a Hall of Famer.
Why do you think you haven't gotten in yet? What have you been told maybe from voters as to why they didn't vote for you, or why you haven't gotten in?
Well, in the book, it was a lot of emphasis put on the trial in 85. And it could be the Pittsburgh trial in 85 could be holding me back.
Do you find that a problem, though? I mean, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, there are players who've used steroids before who are getting lots of consideration. You have numbers to be there. Is that an issue to you?
Well, we got to see what happens with those guys. They haven't made a judgment on them yet, and they're faced with something similar, so we just have to wait and see.
Do you think right now there are some steroid users in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I think there's some that's going up for the Hall, and there's probably some involved. You know, it's hard to say, but it all come out in the wash before any of them are elected.
Are you expecting to get in soon via the Veterans Committee? Do you expect at one point or another to get in?
Well, like I said, I got the numbers. It's up to them. And I'm just going to go on and continue my life. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Dave Parker, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, when did you know that you wanted to play Major League Baseball?
I was about 8 years old. I lived a street over from Crosley Field in Cincinnati. And I used to see Frank Robinson and Vada Pinson come to the ballpark every day. And that impressed me so much, seeing them in their porthole window Thunderbirds coming in right behind each other. And that kind of influenced me to pursue baseball.
How do you go from a 14th round pick to eventually an MVP? Tell me about your journey through the game.
Well, I had size, speed, and all the natural tools. I was a 5'2 kid. So, you know, just reflecting basically and patterning myself after what I'd seen kind of made me I got Parkinson's, so I kind of stutter a little bit.
No, no worries.
But I was influenced by the guys that I mentioned, and I was having success at a young age. So that made me feel that I could be a MVP.
Did you ever expect that sort of path for you in baseball? Like when you were drafted, did you expect to become this MVP, this World Series winner, all the accomplishments that you achieved?
Yeah, I went to spring training rookie, and I was competing with about 500 guys that was at camp, and I kept sticking out like a sore thumb. I was throwing better than anyone, one of the fastest guys there, and that impressed me. You know, I was impressing people, and it made me feel that I was one of the top prospects even at that time. So I knew right away that I had a chance to be a major league player.
What made you baseball's first million-dollar man?
Well, I like I said, I was a 5'2 player, and I had success in back-to-back years. I started playing regularly in 75, 76 I did well, and all the way up to 77, 78, that's when I won back-to-back championship, batting championships. So that and those achievements made me the first million-dollar player.
Was it true that fans didn't like your contract? I found somewhere that they, quote, threw nuts, bolts, and bullets at you for that contract. Is that true?
Well, they threw a battery, and they had a bat night, and they threw some bats on the field. But the only thing that came close to me was the battery. And fans responded to that in a very negative way. And all I did was have success in my profession. So it was a weird situation.
Why do you think that was? Why did they not like you earning an honest pay for all your achievements?
Well, I was very verbal. I made some statements that I wasn't going to apologize for being successful. And Pittsburgh was going through some tough times as a city and the industry. And they just kind of took it out on me. And I was the first. As the first, you always pay a price for being the first.
How do you feel about that today? Would you change anything?
No, I'm going to apologize for being successful. I worked hard and to make those achievements, so I would probably take the same approach.
When you look at baseball's contracts today, are you disappointed at how things were when you played?
I was just born too soon. I'm not disappointed. I'd have probably did the same thing in today's market. I would have went out and produced and earned a major salary. But it's whatever the market can bear. And that's what the players are facing now. I just happen to be the first one to bring it aboard.
More to come with Dave Parker in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Here on Sports Talk Chicago. Dave, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, your favorite pitcher to hit off of was who?
Well, I had great success against Andy Hawkins, San Diego. He was a good pitcher, but for some reason I had good success.
What about one you hated to face? One you struggled against?
Well, Steve Carlton had an unhittable slider. He would throw it at the middle of the plate and it would break over to the other batter's box. And he had good success against me, but we had an interesting stat. Steve struck me out more than any player I ever faced, and I hit more home runs off of him than any pitcher I'd ever faced. So it was feast of famine.
Who were your best friends that you made in baseball?
Eric Davis. I kind of tucked him under the wing. He was like a son to me, and he had five-tool ability, and he wanted to learn, and he wanted to be as good as he could be. And I fell in love with him, and I talked to him. I had a birthday yesterday, and he was one of the people that called me. So Eric Davis is probably the guy that I put at the top of that list.
What's the funniest moment you've had with him or anyone else in the game?
Hitting a home run in Charleston, West Virginia. And it was a train track behind the right field fence. And the ball landed in a coal car when I was at the plate. And I hit a home run and landed in the coal car. And they tracked it. And it went from Charleston, West Virginia to Columbus, Ohio. So I hit the longest home run ever hit in baseball.
You know, I found that story online before we did this interview. It said it was a legend, but you're telling me it's true, right?
Yeah, it's true. I knocked the cover off the ball. I knocked the cover off the ball in St. Louis against Bob Forrest. Hit a line drive over his head, and by the time we got to center field, a flap came off of the ball. I ended up getting a double because the ball landed in between the outfielder and the second baseman. So I knocked the cover off the ball.
How'd you get the Cobra nickname?
Tony Bordone, I trained him, was a big boxing fan. And I was from Cincinnati, and he knew it. And he knew about Ezra Charles, who was a heavyweight champ. And he was his home was Cincinnati. So he just put the two together, me being from Cincinnati and Ezra Charles coming from Cincinnati. So that's how I got the name Cobra. Bob Prince made it famous.
Did you like it? Were you resistant to it, or did you accept it?
I loved it. You know, it kind of grew on me. The fans made it happen.
And Dave, before we finish up today, last question. How much does baseball mean to you?
Well, it's my life. It means the world to me. That's why I watch ball today, and with the salary guys are making, I don't understand why they can't give a full effort to running the ball out or running around the bases on a pop-up. You know, baseball is my life.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the way the game is going today versus when you played?
They need to speed it up. And guys don't play small ball. They don't hit behind the runner. Everybody's trying to hit a home run. And I think that when you get men in scoring position, you got to do situational hitting, hit behind the runner.
What's your response to the sabermetric crowd who says small ball doesn't win games?
It worked for me.
Are you worried about them? I mean, they have really permeated the game, and they've made things a lot different. The war crowd, the WRC plus, all of these new stats. Does that scare you as a baseball legend?
I told one of the ex-friends of mine, ex-baseball players, that pretty soon we have a robot pitching off the mound. You know, I mean, they got stats for everything. So it's kind of headed that way.
You really think we'll see a robot on the mound at some point?
When the game is changing, and at the speed that it's changing, it's a possibility.
If that happened, would you renounce your fandom for baseball?
No, I'm in it to die. I'm in it for the long run.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining me. Really a pleasure and an honor to have you on the program. It's a great book, and I hope more people could check it out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great talk there with Dave Parker, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Dave Parker himself, Matt Tubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluel. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. And so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the turtles?